It's time to start the show. Animal facts and animal snacks with your hosts, Elise and Nicole.
Hey guys, welcome to Animal Facts and Animal Snacks.
That's Elise.
And that's Nicole.
And today, we're going to talk about hedgehogs.
Yay! We're so excited to do this episode. We're not only talking about hedgehogs, we're talking about lots of different prickly animals.
Yes, today. All the things that resemble hedgehogs.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we have the cutest snack for today. Nicole, do you want to tell everyone what we have?
Oh my goodness. So Jenny Wenny Bakery actually donated little hedgehogs for us today, and they're absolutely amazing. So a hedgehog is actually an Australian dessert. So they're called hedgehogs. I'm not saying that the animal hedgehog is an Australian dessert. I want to clarify that. So they make these what kind of look like a brownie, right? And it has like cookie crumbles in it and like dark chocolate and walnuts, and they are delicious. But Jenny actually made them into the shape of hedgehogs for us. So instead of giving us these little like hedgehog bars, she formed them to be like hedgehog shaped and then did like this buttercream icing to show us all the spikes. And she made this really cute little nose, and she even put bows on the girls or like little flowers on the girls. And they are seriously the most adorable things. It was so hard to eat them because they actually look really realistic,
they
too.
They do, and they're pretty much life-size, so I they kind of wanted to just keep mine forever.
In the freezer, you probably could have, yeah. But they were too good
they
to
were
keep.
Delicious.
Yeah, they were amazing, and we're so grateful. And again, that's Jenny Wenny Bakery. If you guys ever need any kind of, like, cupcakes, desserts, cakes, she does wedding cakes. She makes the most amazing birthday cakes, all different themes, and fondants, and buttercream, and all the stuff.
Yeah, her custom work is gorgeous if you take a look at her website.
So. Yeah, she has an Instagram and a Facebook, so definitely be sure to follow Jenny Wenny. And also check out our page because we're going to post all about these adorable little hedgehogs.
Yeah, you'll be able to see what we saw, and then you'll want one too.
Okay, so Elise, why don't you tell us a little bit about hedgehogs?
Okay, so hedgehogs are mammals. They're actually carnivorous mammals. You wouldn't think that from looking at them, but they are. They eat meat. And we've talked with previous species about their taxonomy, what else they're related to. So if you remember, taxonomy goes in levels. So the first level is kingdom. So just like everything else we've talked about, hedgehogs are in the kingdom Animalia, the phylum Chordata. So they're vertebrates. They're in the class Mammalia because they're mammals. And then they're in the order Ulipotyphla, which includes hedgehogs, moles, and shrews. And then they're in the family Erinaceidae, which includes hedgehogs, gymners, and moon rats. A lot of animals that most people have never heard of. And hedgehogs comprise 17 species total. So it's not just one species. There's actually a lot of different types of hedgehogs. And hedgehogs are actually an ancient group of animals that haven't changed much over the last 15 million years.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so now that we know what hedgehogs are related to, for those of us that have never seen a hedgehog in real life, Nicole, what do they look like?
Okay, so actually, hedgehogs got their name because of their foraging habits. They're small animals that root through hedges and other undergrowth and search for food. So like you said, they're carnivores. They eat insects, worms, centipedes, snails, mice, frogs, and even snakes.
Wow.
And while they're doing this, they make this kind of grunting noise like a hog, so hence hedgehog.
Oh,
right?
I like them already.
Yeah, it's adorable.
So
they have a coat of stiff, sharp spines, which are hollow hairs made of keratin that cover their whole body with the exception of their face, belly, and legs.
Okay, so wait, keratin is the same stuff our fingernails are made out of. So yeah. They basically have like fingernail suits of armor.
Really pointy fingernails. Yeah.
Okay. That's funny.
And their spines are not poisonous or barbed, and unlike the quills of a porcupine, they don't detach from their body easily. And a hedgehog will have about 5,000 spines. And they're small, right?
Yeah.
And each spine will last about a year or so. And then they'll drop off and kind of get replaced. Similar to just shedding.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. From their head and body, they're about 5 to 12 inches. And they're only 1 to 2 inches high, though. So they're just like these tiny little flat balls, basically. And they can weigh anywhere from 14 to 39 ounces. So
how many hamburgers is that?
Oh my God, how many hamburgers is that? We have, what did we say? How many ounces is a hamburger?
4.
4 ounces? So almost 10. Yeah. 10 hamburgers? Up to 10 hamburgers.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hedgehog hamburgers. Hedgehogs have a relatively long lifespan for their size. Their larger species of hedgehogs can live anywhere from 4 to 7 years in the wild. Some have been recorded up to 16 years.
Wow.
And, yeah, and the smaller species will live 2 to 4 years and 4 to 7 in captivity, which doesn't sound like a long time, but compared to a mouse or a rat, which only lives between, like, 2 and 5 years, it's much bigger than, or much longer lifespan than other species
animals
of their prey.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Wow, yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. They are found naturally in Africa and southern Europe. And a day in the life of the hedgehog, they basically sleep all day and they hunt during the night. Right. So while on the hunt, they rely on their senses of hearing and smell because their eyesight's really weak.
Okay. So very similar to most other nocturnal mammals.
Correct.
Okay.
A defense that all species of hedgehogs possess is the ability to roll into a tight ball, causing the spines to point outward. If attacked, it'll curl into a ball, and it'll be like this prickly, unappetizing ball. So most predators don't want, they just kind of ignore it once that happens, right?
Yeah,
they don't want to chew on this.
Lunch
exactly.
Else.
The hedgehog's back contains two large muscles that control the position of the quills. When the creature is rolled up into a ball, the quills on the back protect the tucked in face and belly. Because, like I said, that part isn't covered in quills.
Okay, so yeah. The quills help protect the vulnerable parts.
Correct. And they'll sleep in this position during the day as well.
Okay.
I know. It's so sweet. So they're primarily nocturnal, like we said, though some species can be active during the day. Hedgehogs will sleep for a long portion of the day under bushes, grass, rocks, or commonly in dens dug underground. They have the ability to hibernate, although not all do. So hedgehogs in a cold climate will hibernate. And in the desert, they'll sleep through the heat and drought in a similar process called estivation. Hedgehogs who live in a more temperate climate will be active all year round.
That
so
makes
they
sense.
Choose whether or not they want to hibernate.
Basically. Okay, so hedgehogs are avoiding the extreme cold or extreme heat, but in temperate regions, they're active all year round.
Correct.
Okay.
And during hibernation, the body temperature of a hedgehog can decrease to about 2 degrees Celsius, which is 36 degrees Fahrenheit,
wow.
Which is insane.
And like when the little prickly ice cubes.
It's crazy. Yeah. When the animal awakens from hibernation, the body temperature will rise from about 2 to 5 degrees Celsius, which, like we said, about 36 to 41 degrees Fahrenheit, back to its normal of about 86 to 95 degrees Fahrenheit. So their body temperature isn't much lower than ours naturally, but it can drop down like 60 degrees. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So hedgehogs actually do this really cool thing called anointing. So basically the hedgehog encounters this new scent and it'll begin to like lick and bite whatever the source of the scent is. And it'll start to form this like froth, like a foam in their mouth. And then they'll paste it onto their spines with its tongue. Right. So it's not 100% certain why they do this, but some experts believe that it's either to camouflage because they encountered a new scent. So now they want that scent on them so that predators don't smell the hedgehog. They just smell this other scent.
Makes sense.
Or another interesting thing is that some people believe that it's actually poison, so it makes their spines poisonous.
Oh, like right? the mouth froth is poisonous.
Well, whatever they encountered was poisonous. So, like a possum, a mouse, a mole, hedgehogs have a natural immunity against some snake venom.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really cool. So some experts believe that this new scent, they may believe to be like something poisonous. So they make this like froth in the mouth, they put this poison on their spikes, and now their spines are poisonous.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So they have this protein called erinacin, and although large amounts, like a viper's bite, would still be fatal, it will protect them against small amounts of snake venom.
Okay.
In addition, hedgehogs are one of 4 known mammals that have a mutation which will protect them against other snake venom. Pigs, honey badgers, mongoose, and hedgehogs all have the mutation that prevents snake venom neurotoxins from binding, though those mutations develop separately and independently.
And we'll talk more about that later.
Exactly. Gestation. So these solitary animals typically couple only for mating. When they mate, they often make loud, snuffling noises. The male will circle the female, sometimes for hours, to persuade her to mate. So I imagine just like little hedgehog ladies at the bar, and then just like male hedgehogs.
Gentlemen collars.
Yeah. Oh my God.
On the prowl.
Yeah. So then they mate and they'll separate thereafter, and the male, not uncommon, takes no part in rearing the family. I feel like
that
is.
Seems pretty typical.
Yeah. Pretty much all animals, right? Females will be pregnant anywhere from 35 to 58 days, which I feel like is a wide range.
It does seem.
But the young born each year in litters ranges from 1 to 11, and they'll remain with their mothers for only 4 to 7 weeks before heading out on their own.
I read that the young are called hoglets.
Oh my god! Hoglets!
That's so cute.
That's the sweetest thing ever. Among the predators females must guard against this period are other male hedgehogs, which sometimes prey upon the young of their species, which, again, isn't super rare in the wild.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Again, not only are they deadbeat dads, but they might eat their young.
We never, like, stop and think about the fact that we didn't have to worry about our dads eating us.
No, you're right.
That would be
no terrifying. Matter how bad your dad was,
he didn't eat you. So, count that as a win.
But hedgehog mothers have also been known to eat their young if the nest is disturbed, though sometimes they'll just simply move the nest.
Okay.
So it's like, I can't protect you, I might as well eat
you. Might as well eat you. Reabsorb those nutrients.
Hedgehogs are born blind with a protective membrane covering their quills, which dries and shrinks over the next several hours. The quills emerge through the skin after they've been cleaned or it falls off. After about 4 weeks, the mother will take the young out on their first foraging trip, and then 10 days after, the family will separate. So they're like 10 days old, and then they're just like, all right, good luck.
Yeah, and they've gone hunting once. And
get a job.
Like, cool. You've got this. Seems easy.
So I know what I'm describing as a hedgehog might also kind of sound like a porcupine or any other spiky animal that you may have seen, but Elise is going to tell us whether or not they're actually related.
So hedgehogs and porcupines look really similar. A lot of people that come to the zoo actually think hedgehogs are baby porcupines.
Oh my god.
They also have asked if pine cones are baby porcupines. So, you know, maybe, like, not the brightest people, but who knows. So hedgehogs and porcupines are actually not that closely related. Hedgehogs are carnivores. Porcupines are herbivores. They only eat plant material. Porcupines are in the same kingdom, Animalia, the same phylum, Chordata. They're all vertebrates. The same class, Mammalia. They're all mammals. And then the taxonomic level order is where hedgehogs and porcupines start to differ. So hedgehogs were in an order Eulipotyphla with other hedgehogs, moles, and shrews. Porcupines are in the order Rodentia. So porcupines are actually rodents. They're some of the largest rodents in the world. So no. Things like rats and mice. And there are actually 58 different species of porcupines living in the world today.
Oh my god.
So now that we know that they're actually not that closely related, Nicole, do you want to tell people what porcupines look like and some of the differences between porcupines and hedgehogs?
Yes, so porcupines and hedgehogs actually have a lot of physical differences. First being geographic location. So both are native to Africa, Europe, and Asia, but hedgehogs have also been introduced to areas of New Zealand. Some species of porcupine are native to the New World, which means like Canada, United States, and South America.
Building off of what you just said, the porcupines that live in North and South America are mainly arboreal, so mainly tree-dwelling, and spend most of their time climbing. So they've actually evolved prehensile gripping tails, a lot like monkeys, to aid in climbing and staying in the trees. The porcupines that live in Europe, Asia, and Africa are normally ground-dwelling and live in deserts, grasslands, and forests. And there's only one species of porcupine that lives in the United States and Canada. It's the North American porcupine, and it's actually the largest species.
Yeah, actually, the size of the porcupine and hedgehog is probably one of their biggest differences.
Biggest, haha.
A hedgehog can grow between 4 and 12 inches in length, and a porcupine can grow triple that size, somewhere between 20 or 36 inches.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, and each animal has a tail, which also differs in size. A hedgehog's tail is up to 2 inches in length, and a porcupine's can be anywhere from 8 to 10 inches. So a porcupine's tail can be longer than the hedgehog's whole body, basically.
Okay.
That's how much bigger the porcupine is than the hedgehog.
Wow.
The feet and face of the hedgehog are also really different. So hedgehogs have a triangular face and a pig-like snout, and they have small feet with little miniature toes and claws. And porcupines have a more round face and broad feet with long claws, which facilitate climbing on trees, like you said.
Okay, makes sense.
The quills are also another big difference. The quills on each type of animal have different features. The hedgehog has shorter quills. They're about an inch in length. And the porcupine's is 2 to 3 inches, while the African species can grow quills over 11 inches long.
That's crazy. The Latin name of porcupine actually translates to quill pig.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's so funny. So aside from the quills being longer, a hedgehog's quills cannot come off easily, while a porcupine's quills easily detach themselves. And the number of quills are also different. On an average hedgehog, we have about 5,000 quills, and on an average porcupine, we have approximately 30,000 quills.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Yeah.
But porcupines can't shoot their quills, right? That's kind of a myth.
Correct. Porcupines cannot shoot them at predators, although people once thought this, but the quills do detach easily when touched. So many animals will come away from a porcupine encounter with quills protruding from their snouts and their bodies. These quills have sharp tips and overlapping scales or barbs, which make them difficult to remove. So kind of like a fish hook.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're hard to remove from another animal's skin. And porcupines grow new quills to replace the ones that they've lost. And this is pretty much the defense mechanism for porcupines and for hedgehogs, right? So hedgehogs and porcupines exhibit different behaviors when they feel threatened. When a hedgehog feels threatened, it curls up into a ball, like we said, and its quills act like a defense barrier to stop predators from attacking.
So it's more like a shield.
Correct. On the other hand, the porcupine arches its back so that the quills stick up when it feels threatened, and it'll wave its tail in the air and try to hit an attacker, and the tail quills will detach and stick into the predator. So porcupines are more aggressive when trying to defend themselves. They are most heavily armed on their backside, so they'll reverse and then charge into their attacker, like backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll dive into a hole so that their backside's sticking out, thus preventing the attacker from entering the hole behind them. I actually watched a couple National Geographic videos earlier today with this, where it was porcupine versus leopard, porcupine versus lions. And I watched a porcupine defend itself against a whole pride of lions. There had to have been like 4 or 5 lions, and the big cats were approaching it, and they were like trying to paw at it or sniff at it. And then the minute one cat was poked, you know, the quill would stick into its face, and it would begin like rubbing at its face, and then it would walk away. And then like the next cat would stupidly do the exact same thing. And eventually the cats just kind of like lost interest.
You know?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I would have never thought that a porcupine could defend itself against not only one lion, but like a whole pride of lions.
Yeah. That's really impressive.
Yeah, for sure. And then their diet's different. Like you said, porcupines are herbivores. Depending on the food available in their habitat, they'll eat fruit, grass, leaves, buds, bark, and stems.
And they've even been known to eat canoe paddles if they're hungry enough.
Oh my God. Hedgehogs are carnivores. They are useful garden pets, actually, because they'll eat things like slugs, which damage gardens, and other food for them includes insects, centipedes, worms, mice, snails, frogs, and small snakes. The lifespan is also different. So a hedgehog has a lifespan of anywhere from 2 to 7 years, while a porcupine can survive 27 years in the wild.
That's crazy. 27 years?
Well, probably because, you know, it doesn't really...
Nothing will eat them.
No, who wants to eat a porcupine? Jeez.
And there's slightly different reproduction between hedgehogs and porcupines. Nicole touched on hedgehog reproduction already. Female porcupines can have 1 to 4 young at a time, and they're called porcupettes.
Stop it.
No, it's true.
That's what they're actually
called? They're actually called porcupettes.
Oh my God.
And the babies are born with soft quills that harden within a few days of birth. And most juveniles spend longer with their mothers than hedgehogs do, so they aren't ready to live on their own until they're 2 months old.
Wow, that's surprising because they're going to be bigger and have more quills and be more aggressive, but still.
Still a very short amount of time, yeah. But longer than 10 days.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Elise, isn't there an animal that looks like a porcupine that isn't a porcupine? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. So echidnas
okay.
are the quote-unquote porcupine-looking things of Australia and Papua New Guinea. So echidnas are another prickly mammal that looks related to porcupines and hedgehogs, but isn't actually related to them. So just like porcupines and hedgehogs, they're in the kingdom Animalia, the phylum Chordata, the class Mammalia, and then just like porcupines and hedgehogs, they diverge when you get to the level of order. So echidnas are in the order Monotremata, and the family Tachyglossidae, which means fast tongue.
Oh.
So there's 4 living species of echidnas. Now let's break that down a little bit. So they're in the order Monotremata. Monotremes are egg-laying mammals. The only other egg-laying mammal besides echidnas are platypus. So they're in their own order. So I am not good at saying this word, so please don't laugh at me, but oviparous egg-laying mammals are very different from viviparous mammals, where the young develop internally. So oviparous mammals are things like the platypus and echidnas. Viviparous mammals are everything else.
Wow.
Humans and like the tigers we've talked about, pigs, everything else. These different types of mammals probably diverged evolutionarily during the Triassic period, so very, very long time ago. So if we compare the three groups of animals we talked about today, echidnas are oviparous, and hedgehogs and porcupines are viviparous. Echidnas probably evolved from water-foraging ancestors, like the platypus, which returned to live on land full-time 20 to 50 million years ago.
They're so old.
Very ancient species, or group of species. By returning to land, that put echidnas in competition with marsupials, which is their sister taxonomic group, so another weird group of animals, things like kangaroos and wallabies and koalas. But
because they develop on the outside, correct?
Right, exactly.
Like in the pouch.
In the pouch.
Okay.
So egg laying may be an evolutionary advantage over marsupials. Okay, so echidnas are very, very different in terms of their taxonomy and their ancestry compared to hedgehogs and porcupines. They also have very different natural history and very different appearance. So echidnas are carnivorous, mainly insectivorous. They're also called spiny anteaters. So they're like the Australian spiky anteater. So they're adapted to eat larvae, termites, grubs, ants, and worms. And they dig up these prey animals with their short, powerful limbs and powerful claws. Their hind claws are actually elongated and curved backwards to allow for cleaning amongst their spines. So they're very, very spiny, just like...
So you're saying backwards, like, towards what would be, like, the top of our hand, not towards what would be the palm of our hand, correct, when you're talking about their claws?
Well, so they kind of, they're curled towards what would be the palm of their hand.
Okay.
Yeah. But they kind of walk with their feet pointing backwards, so it looks like their claws are pointing backwards. So they have extremely long spines, just like porcupines do. And those hind claws help them with maintenance and cleaning. But even though they clean so much, they're actually infested with the world's largest flea.
Wow. You know what's funny? Hedgehogs, I read, also can have up to 500 fleas on them at a time. And it's a very specific flea. It's a hedgehog flea. And it rarely bites humans, but still, they're also covered in fleas.
Yeah, so these animals that spend a lot of their time in the ground with sharp pokey things, I guess a lot of other stuff likes living in those sharp pokey things.
What's that fancy word we learned about?
Symbiosis.
So the fleas and the hedgehogs have symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Throwback. Previous episode. The echidnas also have a 15 centimeter long tongue.
Oh my god.
Like an anteater. And it's covered in a sticky mucus to trap invertebrates and insects. So you know that fly paper you hang in your house and bugs stick to that sticky fly paper? That's what their tongues are like.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So as if echidnas aren't crazy enough, echidna breeding is my favorite wacky thing about echidnas. So echidnas have a breeding season, and their season begins in late June and extends through September. The males actually form lines up to 11 individuals long, with the youngest echidna trailing last, and that line of males follows the female and attempts to mate. So it's like a conga line.
Oh my
god. Of males following a female.
So that's worse than the circling that the hedgehogs do, because there's a group of them just following her around.
Yep.
Oh, it's like Pac-Man.
It is like Pac-Man. And this line of echidnas, it's called an echidna train, can last up to 6 weeks.
Oh my god, this poor lady echidna.
Yes. And during the mating season, males may switch between lines. So the trains sometimes change, like the tracks change.
So it'll get in line for one lady and then get in line for a different lady.
Ladies, yeah.
Oh mm-hmm. my god.
So during the time that the train is happening, echidnas walk together, forage together, rest together. They do everything in their little train. Now, The males follow the female and make advances by nudging her tail or side with their nose. When the female signals that she's ready to mate, the craziness begins.
Oh my goodness.
So the female stops when she's ready to mate and partially digs her front legs and head into the ground near the base of a tree or bush. The male echidnas, all 11 of them, start digging a trench beside the female. And as they're digging, they try to push each other aside and end up digging around the tree and the female. And it results in a donut-shaped trench around her about 18 to 25 centimeters deep. So people just come see, like, basically crop circles.
Oh, my goodness.
In the middle of nowhere in Australia and Papua New Guinea, made by echidnas. So once the males have dug this trench, they begin pushing each other until only one remains in the trench with the female. Mating finally begins. For our younger listeners, this next part is going to be a little bit PG-13 or R-rated.
So earmuffs right now.
So earmuffs or parental supervision is advised. Okay. So once the males mate with the females, they basically lie on their sides because male and female echidnas have cloacas like birds. So again, very weird animal. They have parts from all different types of animals.
So explain what a cloaca is for not everyone who knows.
It's essentially one hole that everything comes out of.
Okay.
So they're lying on their side, kind of spooning cloaca to cloaca. And then it gets even crazier. Because male echidnas have a four-headed penis. During mating, the heads on one side shut down and do not grow in size, while the other two are used to release semen into the female's two-branched reproductive tract. Each time a male echidna copulates, it alternates heads in sets of two. So when not in use, the penis is retracted inside a sac in the cloaca. The male's penis is 7 centimeters long when erect, and its shaft is covered with spines that induce ovulation in the female. So these guys are prickly all over.
Oh my god.
Now, the crazy thing is that no one has ever seen an echidna ejaculate because echidnas do not reproduce in human care. We're hoping to change that in zoos in the recent future and present. So hopefully soon that won't be the case. But as of right now, no one's actually seen successful ejaculation.
So this is just echidnas. A guess.
This is a guess. Yeah. Now, after mating, okay, kids, you can uncover your ears. We're going back to the PG part. So after mating, the female lays a single egg. So once a year, she'll mate, and she'll lay a single soft-shelled, leathery egg 22 days after mating. And once she lays the egg, she rolls it into a belly pouch. Now, her belly pouch is a lot like a pouch of a kangaroo or a wallaby or a koala. So even though these guys are not marsupials, they have weird marsupial-like features.
So, hold on. Mommy lays an egg, and then it scoops up the egg with its little claw feet, and then it puts it in its belly pocket.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Now, the egg in itself is crazy. It has a leathery shell, not a hard chicken shell type exterior. It only weighs 1.5 to 2 grams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's the size of a grape.
Wow, it's so little.
And then when the baby hatches, after 10 days in mom's pouch, the young echidna, called a puggle, opens the leather shell with a reptile-like egg tooth.
What?
So it actually has a little tooth, and it bites through the shell like a velociraptor.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a crazy animal.
This is the most interesting animal we've ever covered.
So too. I learned so much.
Wow.
Okay. So then the puggle, the baby, finishes developing in mom's pouch. But mom doesn't have nipples like a normal mammal, because why would she? These are not normal mammals. She actually excretes milk from pores in glands into her pouch.
It sweats milk into its belly pouch.
Yes. Oh, that is affirmative. And then the puggle remains in the pouch, slurping up this milk sweat, for 45 to 55 days.
You just said milk sweat. Ew.
Yep. After the 45 to 55 days, mom digs a nursery burrow, dumps the young puggle out of her pouch, and returns every 5 days to suckle it until it's weaned at 7 months old.
5 days? So it goes 5 days in between eating them, this little baby?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jesus.
And then,
this is the silliest
thing I've ever heard. And then after mom's done nursing, the puggle stays with mom in the den for up to a year before it leaves to be completely on its own.
What is the purpose of dropping it off in a pole then if it's just been told to move back in for the next year? Like, tough love? Like, I don't understand.
These are the weirdest animals.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are echidnas.
Okay. So that was a bit of a tangent. Super interesting and informative and pretty wild. But why don't we circle back to hedgehogs, since that's why we're here.
This weird species.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So only two things we really haven't touched on about hedgehogs are the fact that people have them as pets.
Yeah. So you wanted an animal this whole time that's not in dire straits, that we don't get to the conservation part, and you say like, oh God, how are we killing them off now? This is it. This is that moment. Hedgehogs are animals of least concern, according to the IUCN, and their current population trend is stable, and they're actually so stable that we can have them as pets.
Yeah, so the African pygmy hedgehog is actually the most common type sold as a pet. It can grow to be around 6 to 9 inches long, live 4 to 6 years, but a pet hedgehog can live up to 10 years even. And it is a solitary animal, and it should live by itself, so don't try to get a whole family of hedgehogs and put them in the same cage together. All right, so a hedgehog is a very active animal. It will require a large cage, even though it's small. But fortunately, there are many cages of adequate size available for reasonable prices. He or she will also need time outside of his cage to explore and run around. So every once in a while, you'll let it just run around your living room or your backyard, but you have to watch it, right? Mm-hmm. Since hedgehogs are nocturnal, they'll be best for people who are in the home during the evenings and at night. And a hedgehog may not be suitable for small children, hence all of their spikes and spines. A hedgehog is fun to watch, they're quiet, they're not aggressive, and they're fairly easy to care for. They're really clean animals and have very little smell. Their food is easily attainable and inexpensive. A hedgehog could be a wonderful addition for someone who wants a unique and entertaining pet. I actually even Googled, you know, can you snuggle with a hedgehog? Can you cuddle a hedgehog? Like, do you just, is a hedgehog just a pet you keep in the cage? But it looks like if you pick the hedgehog up from like its belly side, right, where there are no spines, and just kind of hold it, let it relax, let it calm down, it will ease its spikes. And then as long as they're not sticking straight up, they're really not sharp. Okay. Right? You can almost like pet a hedgehog as long as they're not scared.
Okay.
I also read that you shouldn't use gloves or anything either, which I would think like, oh, just use your safety gloves. But they actually said if you're trying to have a pet hedgehog, never to use your gloves because one, their spikes aren't that sharp to where like, you know, an adult, it will poke you. It's not, you know, like threatening really in any way. But also that's how the hedgehog will start to learn your smell and get used to you.
Well, that makes sense.
So then it'll be more, every time you pick it up, it'll be more comfortable with you picking it up, basically.
Totally makes sense.
Also some weird uses for hedgehogs, aside from domesticating them, I read that there are some medicinal uses for hedgehogs.
Oh.
Yeah, so hedgehogs are a food source in many cultures. They were eaten in ancient Egypt, and some recipes of the late Middle Ages call for hedgehog meat. Hedgehogs are traded throughout Eurasia and Africa for traditional medicine and witchcraft. In the Middle East, and especially among Bedouins, hedgehog meat is considered medicinal. They are also said to cure a variety of illnesses and disorders from tuberculosis to impotence. In Morocco, inhaling the smoke of the burnt skin or bristles is a purported remedy for fever, male impotence, and urinary illness. The blood is sold as a cure for ringworm, cracked skin, and warts, and the flesh is eaten as a remedy for witchcraft. Yeah, Romani people still eat hedgehogs, boiled or roasted, and use the blood and the fat for its supposed medicinal value.
Wow.
In 1981, Welsh pub owner Philip Lewis began the manufacture of hedgehog-flavored crisps, which are chips. That's so gross.
Yeah, that's really disgusting.
Lewis's marketing had to change, however, from hedgehog-flavored to hedgehog-flavor, due to advertising standards and the crisps not actually containing any hedgehog.
Ew, still, why would you want to lick a hedgehog? That's gross.
I don't know, but it's pretty crazy that I mean, I don't know whether these diseases or illnesses are actually cured, but it's fascinating that people believe hedgehog meat and blood and even just breathing in the smell of their burnt flesh would heal in any way.
Yeah, which sounds morbid, but you're not hurting the populations by doing those things since they're a group of animals of least concern. They're doing really well in the wild, so clearly these uses aren't hurting the populations at all.
So aside from maybe having hedgehog chips, where else could I find hedgehog characters or just references?
So everyone knows Sonic the Hedgehog. He was created in 1991. It's a video game and comic series. Little known fact, Sonic the Hedgehog also features a character named Knuckles, who's an echidna.
Oh,
yeah. Speaking of echidnas, the 2000 Summer Olympic Games mascot was an echidna.
That's crazy.
Super weird. And because we all know that I use these podcasts not to teach everyone about animals, but as a way to, like, subtly brainwash everyone with Harry Potter facts, right? Not so subtly. If you've seen the movie Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the Niffler is actually based on an echidna. You can also find hedgehogs in the children's book The Tale of Mrs. Tiggy Winkle by Beatrix Potter, written in 1905. And Flaky the Porcupine is a popular character in the TV show Happy Tree Friends.
Oh.
And if you'd like more information about hedgehogs, there's a couple of really good books. One is called Hedgehogs, The Complete Pet Owner's Manual by a veterinarian named Sharon Vanderlip. And the other book is called Hedgehogs by Pat Morris, and it's part of the British Natural History Collection. So it depends on if you're interested in hedgehogs as pets or hedgehogs in the wild. And then we actually have a really cool charity that we're supporting this week on our podcast. This charity was brought to our attention by Jenny Wenny Bakery.
Yeah. So one of their reasons for wanting to do a hedgehog was to also associate the snack for the week with a charity that they're familiar with.
Which is a great idea.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. So the charity that Jenny Wenny picked is called St. Tiggy Winkle. So it's based on the children's book by Beatrix Potter. And this organization is great, and I'm going to just let them speak for themselves. So I'm going to read the first paragraph of their About Us section on their website. Every year in Britain, over 5 million wild animals and birds are injured as a direct result of their encounters with man and man's world. Tiggy Winkles, the Wildlife Hospital Trust, is a specialist hospital. Using every available veterinary welfare skill, we are dedicated to rescuing and rehabilitating all species of British wildlife. Since opening our doors, over 200,000 patients have received treatment at Tiggy Winkles, and they have perfected techniques for hedgehogs, badgers, deer, and other species common in Great Britain. All British wild animal casualties brought to the hospital are treated completely free of charge and are released through a controlled program back to the wild when they are fully fit.
Oh, that's a really sweet charity. Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, for us, we have squirrels and deer, which are very commonly, you know, hit by cars or bikers or just injured by interacting with humans unintentionally, but still injured. And a lot of times people don't really have anywhere to take those animals. It's hard to bring a squirrel or a deer or a rabbit into a local vet.
Uh-huh. So you need a rehab clinic.
Exactly. So this is a really sweet charity that is focusing on those animals that get hurt and people tend to forget about.
Yeah. And it's great that they're doing all of this work pro bono. So if you're interested in learning more about them, their website is www.sttiggywinkles.org.uk, and we'll link it on our Facebook page along with the pictures and the cartoons.
Yeah, definitely.
Our episode today.
And thanks again to Jenny Wenny for not only providing the snack, but providing this amazing charity for us to learn all about.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that just about wraps up the episode.
Yeah, hopefully you guys had fun learning about prickly animals with us. I know we had a lot of fun with this episode.
Super interesting in a way I never expected it to be.
No, it was weird. And it got graphic, but hopefully kids tuned out in time.
Yeah. Well, bye.
Bye.